Good morning. Love baby dedications. They're so fun. Pastor Ethan said, my name is Johanna. For those of you who don't know me, I am the Connections and Discipleship Pastor here at New Life Fellowship, and I get the joy and honor of bringing you the Word of God today. Just so you know, Pastor Dane and Bev are taking a three-week R&R, so they won't be here for the next few weeks, but it's good for them to rest, to renew, and also just be praying for Pastor Dane and Bev in this next 3 weeks, because Dane takes his time to really pray and seek God for what he wants next at New Life Fellowship for next year, for our vision, for where he wants to lead us. So be praying for him, and we're excited for when they come back. So today I get to start us off on our new series, kick us off. We're going to be going through a book, through the book of Acts in the next few weeks. It's going to take a while because there's a lot in Acts, but it's going to be really good. And most of you know, maybe you even have a t-shirt, or you've seen people wearing t-shirts that say Live Sent, right? And we've been selling them, and that is our theme for 2026. And every year, Pastor Dane and the staff and the leadership like to pick a theme for us to focus on, and that's where our goals and our vision is centered around that theme. And this year it was Live Sent. And why Live Sent? Why is that? It's because our desire is that here every person at New Life will live sent. Live with that mindset that we are on a mission to spread the gospel, that we are a movement, and movement means moving. We have to be active, and that it's all about us making sure that we are reaching that one more for Jesus, that we are living sent, that we are being representations of Jesus, not only just here at church, but everywhere in our families, in our workplaces, wherever we go, that we have the mindset that we are to spread the gospel of Jesus. And so as we go through the book of Acts, we're going to do that with the theme of Live Sent. And we're going to do that as our motivation and inspiration. So before we get started, will you pray with me? Lord, we're just so grateful. We're so thankful that we get to just be here today, that we get to be in this place with other believers and lift our hands to worship you and praise you. And we're so thankful and grateful that we even get to be able to sit here and learn from your word that you provided. And so I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would come, that you would soften our hearts to receive the message that you have for us today, that, Lord, you would anoint these words, that you would anoint this message, and it would go forth with power. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. So maybe you've already turned to the book of Acts, but when you get there, most of you may, I don't know if you look at the details, but there at the beginning, when it talks about where it's at, it says, most of your Bibles will say the Acts of the Apostles, and that's kind of what the official name is of the book of Acts. But I like to think of it more as the Acts of the Holy Spirit, right? Because without the Holy Spirit, the apostles would not be able to do the things that they did. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that they were even able to act out and do anything. So Acts is what scholars call a historical narrative. And basically what this means is it's not a theological dissertation like the book of Romans, or it's not an instructional letter like Galatians or the Corinthians, but it's a story. It's the story of God's people. It's the story of the first church and how God moved in and through them, doing miraculous things through the power of the Holy Spirit. But just because it's a narrative doesn't mean that we cannot read it and learn and apply some of the truths from them into our own lives today. Because you see, the same Holy Spirit that empowered the early church is the same Holy Spirit that empowers us today. The same Holy Spirit that worked through those people is the same Holy Spirit that works through us. And the same commission that Jesus gave them to go out and make disciples, to be his witnesses, is the same command that he gives us today. So we can read through Acts and learn so much from it and be inspired. So before we dig in, let's get a little context, because it's always good to know who the author is and who the audience is and why it's being written. And so we're going to do that really quick. So the author is Luke. Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so think of it this way. Luke and Acts is like a book series. And Luke is book one and Acts is book two. They're really, they go together. It's a continuation. And he wrote both of them to a man named Theophilus. So who is Luke? And who is Theophilus, right? Luke is believed to be a Gentile. He was a very close friend and companion of the Apostle Paul. He was with him almost all the way up until his last days. And he was very educated. He was smart. He was a doctor. And you can see this coming out in his writing style. If you read through Luke and you read through Acts, he gives great detail to the descriptions and great, just great description. And so you notice that. This is a fun fact. He is the only non-Jew to write a book of the New Testament. So pretty cool. Now, who is Theophilus? So no one really knows. We don't know who Theophilus is. We don't know anything about him much from just that Luke wrote to him. But we can gather from the fact that Luke called him most excellent Theophilus, that he was very respected. He was probably most likely a Roman official or highly respected individual, and he was very wealthy probably, and he was interested in the Christian faith. He was interested in who is this Jesus and who are these Christians. That is why Luke is writing to him. We never hear anything more about Theophilus, but what is important is that because of him, we get this amazing book called Acts. Because Luke felt it necessary to write to him, and therefore we get to hear all about it. Think about it. What if we didn't have the book of Acts? Think about it. Think if it just went straight from the Gospels of Jesus, you know, dying, rising from the dead, going up into heaven, and then went straight to Romans. We'd miss out on so much, right? We'd miss out on the stories of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell on the people and tongues of fire and rushing wind. We'd miss out on how God transformed and changed a scared and timid Peter who was cursing and people and denying Jesus and empowered him to preach a sermon and 3,000 people were saved. We miss out on the story of how Paul had this supernatural encounter with Jesus and he went from being a murderer of Christians to being the one who wrote most of the New Testament. We miss out on all of these amazing stories. And so Acts is important to us. It brings us hope. It gives us inspiration. Acts is one of the best documentaries you could ever read and encounter. And we're going to have so much fun unpacking it and going through it and reading it. So are you guys ready? All right, let's do it. Okay, so we're going to start off in chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and it says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Okay, so we're going to stop right there and just kind of unpack this little section really quick and point out some really cool and important truths. First, Luke points out that after Jesus' resurrection, he spent 40 days with his disciples. He instructed them and he presented himself to them. Why? To prove that he really, truly was risen from the dead. This is so important, not only for Theophilus, but for us today, because we have to know and understand Jesus was a real person who lived and died, and Jesus really did rise from the dead. And he stayed on earth an extra 40 days, proving his resurrection so that there left no doubt to his followers that he was risen. Paul confirms this testimony in 1 Corinthians 15 when he states that Christ appeared to more than 500 people after his resurrection. You see, Jesus knew that in order for his followers, his disciples, to be effective witnesses, they needed to be certain beyond reasonable doubt that he indeed was alive. Scripture says that when he was here, he ate with them. He talked with them. He let them touch him, to see his scars, to touch his scars. All of these are visible proofs of a resurrected body. The next important takeaway to note is that Jesus, who was fully God and fully risen from the dead, still needed the power of the Holy Spirit to instruct his disciples. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. If there's one main point that we want to get across through this whole entire series that we will be teaching on, is that you cannot do what God has called you to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if Jesus, who is fully God, fully risen from the dead, who defeated sin and death, needed the Holy Spirit to instruct his disciples, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit when we are instructing and discipling others? So let's keep reading. It says this in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So here we find out that Luke tells us sometime in these past 40 days after Jesus' resurrection and prior to his ascension, that he tells his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go out and spread the word and be my disciples, but you have to wait. You need to wait for the gift the Father has promised them. In just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go away, to go back to the Father. The disciples knew this. Jesus had been preparing them for this, teaching them, getting them ready for when he leaves and he can't be physically present with them anymore. You remember what Jesus told them right before his crucifixion in John chapter 16, verse 7. He says this, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So here it is, the moment that they've been anticipating, knowing, maybe even dreading is coming, right? Jesus is going to leave them. He's going to go, but they have to remember that he has to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come. In order for them to receive the promise, they have to wait for it. Think about it. I mean, here the disciples are. They've just spent 3 years and 40 days with Jesus, and they've been taught, they've been instructed by him. They know the gospel. They know that Jesus is fully risen. They've experienced it. They've witnessed it. They're ready, right? They're ready to go and be his witnesses. They've attended the classes. They've spent time with Jesus. They knew the word, and yet Jesus says, wait. Wait. You have to wait. And oh, by the way, while you're waiting, you won't know the exact day the promise is going to come. It's going to come, but you still have to wait. How many here hate waiting? I mean, I don't like it. Like, it's hard. It's hard to be patient, and I just feel like it gets worse in this day and age because we're so used to everything happening instantaneously, right? And so our patience levels have gone way down. And especially in traffic. Anybody else can relate? Okay, I have to commute. I live 40, 45 minutes away. And so I commute, and commuting, whoa. I mean, talk about testing the fruit of the Spirit in patience. That's what it does, right? You get caught behind a slow car, and it's like, where did the love of Jesus go? I don't know. But I mean, my parents can testify. I call them a lot on my way to work, and they're like, okay, what drivers made you angry now, Johanna, right? But patience, like, right? We are in such a hurry to get places. And this happened to me recently, and I was driving home from Las Vegas with my mom and my two daughters and my little baby grandson, and we went on a girls' trip. My mom and I were doing babysitting duty, which we preferred, right? Anyway, we're on our way home. I'm driving in the carpool lane. I just want to get home. You know, when you're on a long road trip and you're just like, I just want to get there. And you're really blessed that you have a car full of people so you can be in the carpool lane and bypass all the traffic. And so you're driving and you're going at a high speed, and all of a sudden, somebody in front of you in the carpool lane is going like 5-10 under, and you can't pass them until the double white lines, right? Well, I got impatient. Anybody been there? Broke the rules. You know, going in. I went out, came back in, and thought I was safe until I heard the little sirens and saw, of course, that one time, right? So my impatience got me in trouble, like if I just waited. And I was really nice to the cop, but fortunately I still got the ticket. But anyway, patience. We just need to slow down and wait, right? Waiting is hard, but waiting is part of the learning process. You see, the disciples had to learn to trust Jesus, to take him at his word. He said, wait for the promise, and the promise will come, and they had to do that. Why? Why? Because having all the information is not enough. Having all the experiences with Jesus is still not enough. Conviction is not even enough. Jesus knew they needed more. They needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes in our own lives, we receive a calling from Jesus, or we get inspired by reading God's word, and we know what we should be doing. Yes, we need to go and we need to serve. Yes, we need to go and do what God has called us to do and make disciples, and we're ready. But sometimes God says, just wait. And there's some key truths that we're going to read in these next few passages of scripture that will help us. And why does he tell us to wait? Because he knows that we will burn out, we will fail, we will not do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so number one is trust God's timing. How many here love a plan? They like to have that plan. They like to have all the information. They want the timelines. They want the details. We want to know how things work. And so did the disciples, right? Let's read what they asked him. Here they are. Then he had just told them, right? Like, you're going to go. You're going to be my disciples. I'm getting ready to leave. Go and wait for the promise. And here's what they say. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Here we have, right? They're waiting and they want to know, or they've been told what to do next. And what do? They ask questions. Okay, God, are you going to do this the way we want you to do it? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel right now? Why this question? Why did they ask it? Because the disciples knew. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, right? Jesus had confirmed it through spending time with him, through his resurrection. They knew he was the Messiah. And they knew that the Messiah was meant to come to restore Israel. And that was what was on their minds at that point. They were ready to do for Jesus to come and do his political reign. Jesus isn't mad at them for asking this question. He doesn't scold them, but he redirects them to what is important. He tells them, this information isn't what you need to know right now. What you need is power. What you need is the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses. And sometimes it's that way for us. We can get caught up in the details. Before we do what God has called us to do, we want to know the timelines. We want to know the certainties. We want to know all the explanations, all the answers. We want everything to make sense before we tell others about Jesus. Sometimes we think, well, I can't go and do what God has called me to do because what if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? What if I'm not prepared? Or I can't go do what Jesus has called me to do. I can't be his witness because I can't even get my own family in order, right? And we think we can't do it. And so we'd stall and we ask and we're so focused on the details. Now, don't get me wrong. Being prepared is good. It's good. It's good to be prepared. Jesus spent 3 years and 40 days preparing the disciples to be his witnesses. But sometimes in our preparation, sometimes in all of our learning, we get confused as to what is our agenda and what is God's agenda. And God wants us to trust him. And God wants us to wait on him, to seek his guidance and wisdom. Jesus reminds the disciples that those details of the restoration of Israel is not important at this moment. Instead, he says, this is what is important. You need power. What you need to do is wait and let me fill you up with the Holy Spirit so that he will empower you to share the gospel. He will empower you to serve, and he will empower you to know the truth. Which leads me to point two. We have to depend on God's power. In verse 8, Jesus goes on to say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus had a mission for them. They were to be his witnesses, but that mission required empowerment. As we go through this series of Book of Acts, we're going to learn some pretty amazing and remarkable stuff that the disciples did. We're going to see them perform miracles that were even greater than Jesus performed. We're going to see people like Peter be transformed by the power of the Spirit. We're going to see Paul be transformed by the power of the Spirit. But not because they were extraordinary people, not because they had these dynamic personalities or they scored high on evangelism on the spiritual gifts test. No, that's not what made them special. What made them special was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What made them able to do what they were able to do was that they waited on the promise and were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Why did Jesus want them to do it with the Holy Spirit? Because he knew that they were going to face some pretty challenging things. They were going to do some amazing things, but they were going to have some challenges too. And when that happens, they could face burnout. They could face discouragement. They would need the strength to stand firm in the midst of persecution, where most all of them gave their lives for Christ. And he knew that you will fail if you do not have the Holy Spirit empowering you. I love the story in the Old Testament of Moses in Exodus 33. Moses is, maybe some of you know or don't know, he was called by God to take the people of Israel from Egypt and take them through the wilderness and lead them to the promised land. And if you read through it, it was not an easy task for Moses. It was challenging, and he had obstacle after obstacle. And I love the story in Exodus 33, and starting in verse 12, we're going to read it, where God is telling Moses that he needs to go. He needs to take them on into the next step. And Moses says to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses says this to him. He says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Moses knew that he could not do what God had told him to do, and he refused to do it unless the presence of God went with him. And that needs to be our prayer today. God, I won't go and do what you have called me to do. I can't be your witness. I can't serve you unless you go with me. Unless your Holy Spirit empowers me, I can't do it without you. So right after Jesus tells them to stay and wait for the Holy Spirit who will empower them to be his witnesses, he leaves. He leaves them. He goes. And he ascends into heaven right before their eyes. Let's read about it. It says this, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. I mean, okay, I like to use my imagination when I read scripture. Anybody else here? And I just think it's funny. I can only just picture it. Here they are, these disciples, a group of them, and, you know, they're just talking with Jesus, and then all of a sudden he just starts floating up into heaven, right? And they're just staring at him, watching him kind of like that little balloon, you know, like just going off into the sky. And, like, all of a sudden he's behind a cloud, and they're probably like, do you see him? No, I don't see him. Do you see him? Where did he go? And they're just standing there, obviously for a long time, because God had to send two angels, be like, hey, dudes, like, what are you doing? Stop staring at the sky. Jesus is gone. But don't worry, he's coming back, right? He's coming back. And that leads me to number three, take the next step of obedience. Sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we get so mesmerized at the amazing spiritual experiences in front of us, or by seeking after those mountaintop experiences, or we're so captivated by the miraculous that we're stuck and we don't move into the next step that God has called us to do. The disciples needed a little waking up, a shaking, like, stop staring, get moving, go and wait, go and do what God has called you to do. You see, the mission Jesus gave is clear. At the end of Matthew in chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus gave these instructions to his disciples, and it's what he's telling us today. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. You know, sometimes we can be so fixated on Jesus' return that we are not doing what he called us to do while we are waiting for him. You see, while we wait for Jesus to return, we are to live sent. We are to make disciples. We are to be his witnesses. Jesus said that they will know your disciple. You are my disciples if you follow my commands. What are his commands? He made it super easy for us. Love God and love others. And that's what we are to do. We are to go out and love the world. We are to go out and serve the world. We are to go out and make disciples. But sometimes we get distracted, right? We get distracted by the details or our own agenda, or we want to go without waiting for God's presence and power, or we stand staring when God has clearly given us the next step. You know, in the next few weeks and months, we are going to see and learn some pretty amazing stuff the disciples did. We're going to see a Pentecostal outpouring. We're going to see boldness to preach. We're going to see and witness church growth like never before. We're going to see and learn about miracles performed. But before there was a Pentecost, there was a waiting room. Before there was bold preaching, there was patient dependence. And before thousands were saved, there were the disciples learning to trust God's timing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You see, the church, the first church, and the church today was never meant to change the world on their own strength. We were never meant to go and fulfill the calling of Jesus, to go and do his mission without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot live sent. We cannot go and do what Jesus has called us to do without first waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill us up. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us to be history makers. So today, my challenge to you, not only today, but in the weeks and the months to come, as we read and we study and we explore and we dig in to the book of Acts, and we see how the Holy Spirit moved in and through his people, how he empowered them to do great things. I want us to take the time to ask ourselves, to search our hearts. Maybe it's like you're here and you're serving and you're doing all the right things and you're pouring your heart out for God and you're being a witness and you're doing everything that God has called you to do, but you're feeling tired, You're feeling burned out. You're feeling discouraged. Maybe it's because you're like, I just need to be filled up. I need to wait and go with the presence of Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're ready. You're like, I'm ready to go. I'm inspired. I'm ready to go do it all. But you're going to go on your own strength, and God's saying, wait, let me fill you first. Let my presence go before you first so that you won't burn out. Or maybe you're here and you're not doing anything at all. Maybe you're stuck. Maybe you're stuck because you don't have all the details, or you don't have all the information, or maybe you're stuck because you're just like this little safe place. And God's saying, move out. Move out and do what I've called you to do. You see, God isn't going to ask you to do something that he isn't already going to prepare you for and fill you up and empower you with. And that's what we need to pray for today. We need to say, Holy Spirit, come. A few months ago, Pastor Dane preached a sermon, and he mentioned this in his sermon, and it just stuck with me, and it was that we should never start any of our day without first saying the words, come, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Because we can't do what he's called us to do. We can't be his witnesses. We can't train and teach our children up in the Lord. We can't be a good wife or a good husband. We can't do all of that without the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. So today, will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me up. Lord, we come before you today, and we recognize we can't do all of this without you. And I thank you for the word that you give us. I thank you for the promises in your word. I thank you that you have the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that we're not meant to do life alone, that we weren't meant to do it burned out and tired and discouraged and afraid, but that you knew we needed more. We needed the power, and you gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we pray, come fill us up today. We need you. We are desperate for you. We can't do this without you. So come fill us up. Thank you, Jesus.